passing through the forest, the two princes were suddenly confronted by a tremendously big, ugly Rakshasa who had no head or feet. His mouth was in his great belly, and he had two enormous arms. Without moving from his place, he would stretch out and clutch a tiger, a bear, or any other living thing within reach and swallow them. He had only one eye, which was placed in his chest, but which was terrible to behold. Caught by this monster, the princes were for a while surprised and considered what to do. Then Ram told Lakshman, "Let us not be confused. You will cut off one arm and I shall cut off the other." And so they did. The name of the monster was Kabanda, which means the barrel-shaped one. Once his arms were severed, he was helpless and began to explain.
"On account of my evil deeds, I was cursed by Indra, the king of the gods, to bear this form and this name. I believe you are Ram and Lakshman. Indra promised me freedom from the curse when you two would come and cut off my arms and offer this body of mine to the fire."
The princes thus set fire to his body, as desired by the unfortunate monster, and there arose from the flames a lovely being which entered a heavenly chariot and ascended to the celestial world. Before going, he said to Ram in his real voice, "You will assuredly regain Sita. Go to the beautiful banks of the Pampa River and seek the help of Sugriv, who is living there on the Rishyamukh Hill. Driven out of the kingdom by his brother Vali, he lives in constant fear and danger. Gain his friendship, and you will succeed in your attempt." Saying this, Kabanda disappeared. Ram and Lakshman now went forward in the direction of the Pampa. In that lovely region, they visited the ashram of the aged nun, Shabari, the disciple of sage Matanga, and accepted her hospitality. Shabari was a woman of a forest tribe and a faithful serving sister in the ashram of the old saint Matanga. When he departed this life, she too wanted to die. But he said that the time was not right, and she should await the arrival of Ram, an incarnation of Vishnu, for the bliss of his sight was in store for her. So the old and wrinkled woman lived her saintly life, looking faithfully after the ashram as of old, and keeping it sweet to receive the promised guest. When the princes came, she produced the fruits she had gathered and kept for them, and described and showed to them the wonders of the Matanga ashram. Then, with their leave, she kindled a fire, and, entering it, ascended to heaven. The princes then thought over what should be done next. Then Ram said, "Lakshman, I am beginning to think that we shall succeed. Let us search the forest for Sugriv to obtain his help." They went all over the Pampa area. The place was lovely, but the loveliness of the spot and the animals, birds, trees, and creepers only increased Ram's grief. Every beautiful object wrung his heart and made him think, "How much would Sita have enjoyed this?" Lakshman tried to revive his spirit and said, "Robin cannot escape. It is certain we shall kill him and redeem Sita. But it is not proper that you should thus despair. If we lose a precious thing, we should work for its recovery with perseverance. Sometimes our very affection becomes our enemy. Too much love brings on grief, and grief weakens effort. What need is there for me to tell you all this? You already know it. Let us not lose hope. Let us forget the grief brought on by love and bend our minds and body to exertion. Be hopeful. We shall succeed. Get rid of your sorrow, brother. The fugitive Prince Sugriva and his faithful adherents, with the watchful vigilance of fear, saw Ram and Lakshman roving in the forests and were troubled with doubts. Having been ejected from his kingdom by Vali, Sugriva chose this mountainous spot because he believed that it was made inaccessible to Vali by the curse of a sage. And now he feared that here too Vali, in disguise, was following him in order to kill him. Or else he feared some warriors taking the side of Vali were there to kill him. Sugriva belonged to a monkey-like race called Vanaras. Though they had some animal characteristics, they also were highly intelligent like human beings. Hanuman was Sugriva's chief minister. He reassured Sugriva, saying, "This is not Vali, nor are they friends of Vali. Seems to me. There is no ground for fear. I shall go and talk to them and find out the truth." Sugriva was pleased and said,
"Do it, but be careful. Go find out the truth and come back. Use all your skill. I am full of suspicion. They behave as if they are searching for someone. Could it not be that it is me they seek?"
Taking the form of a Brahmin, Hanuman approached Ram and Lakshman. As he went and stood in front of them, a confident feeling possessed his heart, and he started speaking out frankly. Hanuman went forward to learn the truth without revealing himself. But as he went on speaking, he threw all caution away and told in detail all about himself and the Vanara king. Looking at Ram and Lakshman, he was beside himself as a devotee in the presence of the Lord and praised them. He said that he was a Vanara and had come there in disguise as desired by his king. He said, "O royal saints, your presence here fills my heart with joy. There is an aura around you as if you were gods. I take it you are here in the forest for doing penance. But why have you come to this inaccessible spot? Please tell me who you are. This river and this forest are made lovelier by your presence. Your faces and forms are radiantly beautiful. The creatures in the forest look on you with reverence and awe. Your strength and courage are manifest. Who are you? From which country do you come? It is clear you are entitled by birth to rule some mighty kingdom, and yet you are dressed like ascetics. With matted hair and bark garments, you carry also bows and arrows. Why are you silent?" "Sugriva, the Vanara king was driven out of his kingdom by his brother Vali and is hiding here. He is full of grief. I am his minister. My name is Hanuman. I am the son of Vayu, the wind god. As ordered by my king, I put on the appearance of a monk and am now here before you." Listening to these courteous words of Hanuman, Ram said to Lakshman, "Brother, this speech of Hanuman has inspired me with confidence. I trust him absolutely. Did you notice the beauty of his language and how correct and rhythmic his enunciation is? He speaks like one who has mastered the Vedic scriptures and the science of grammar. He is an ideal messenger. Fortunate is the king who has such a messenger. He whom we are searching for is himself in search of us. We came here to see Sugriva, and he has sent his messenger to us. Let us welcome him." Then they began to talk freely to one another. Ram and Lakshman on the one hand and Hanuman on the other related their history, joys and sorrows, and hopes and fears. As a result of this talk, Lakshman conceived a great affection for Hanuman and said to him, "My brother, born to great wealth, the eldest son of an emperor, has left his kingdom and come to the forest. Here his wife, dearer to him than life itself, was abducted by Ravan, who had by a fraudulent trick lured us away from the hermitage where she was. We seek Sugriv's help to rescue her and recover her, for a demon told us, if you secure the help of Sugriv, the Vanara king, you will regain the princess stolen by the Rakshasa. And so we are here. We seek the friendship of your king." Hanuman answered, "Sugriv too has been persecuted by Vali and deprived of his kingdom and his wife. It is now certain that he will regain both. My king will gain much by your friendship, and with his help you will also succeed in your efforts." Then the three went to Sugriv. The way was such that only a Vanara could traverse it. Hanuman resumed his natural shape and carried both the princes on his back. As friends and lovers embrace each other, Hanuman, the loving servant, rejoiced in carrying his lord on his shoulders. Ascending the Malaya Hill, Hanuman went in advance to Sugriv and, announcing the visit of Ram and Lakshman, said, "Ram is a prince full of wisdom and virtue. He is the eldest son of the famous Emperor Dasarath. To fulfill his father's promise, he left Ayodhya with his brother and wife and came to the forest. King Dasarath was compelled by his younger wife, in fulfillment of an unspecified promise given long ago, to banish Ram. In the forest, taking advantage of the prince's absence, Ravan carried away the wife of Ram. Ram has come here seeking your help in finding her. The princes are worthy of your friendship. You too will gain greatly from friendship with such heroes." Sugriv assumed the form of a handsome man and had a long heart-to-heart talk with the princes. Stretching forth his hand to Ram, he said,
"Princes, if you care for the friendship of a Vanara, here is my hand. Please accept it. Hanuman has told me all about your virtue and greatness."
Ram clasped his hand and embraced him. Soon Hanuman got together some wood and kindled a fire. Circumambulating the flames, Ram and Sugriv swore mutual friendship. They vowed, "Let us share our joys and sorrows. Let our friendship be eternal." They cut down the branch of a tree, and sitting on it, Ram and Sugriv were engaged in cheerful talk, and so too were Hanuman and Lakshman seated on another. Sugriv narrated the story of his life, how greatly he and his elder brother, the mighty Vali, were once devoted to one another, and how malignant fate had, through no fault of Sugriv's, made deadly enemies of them. It had come about this way. Once a Rakshasa named Mayavi came at midnight to the gate of Kishkinda, their capital. He vauntingly challenged Vali to instant combat in pursuance of an ancient feud. Vali, who never refused to fight, rushed forth impetuously, followed by Sugriv. And seeing them, the Rakshasa fled. Pursuing him, they saw him disappear into a great cave, the mouth of which was overgrown with brushwood. Vali ordered Sugriv, exacting an oath from him, to wait at the entrance for him, and plunged into the darkness of the cave after the foe. Sugriv waited long, but no Vali came out. And as he stood racked with doubt, indistinct shouts and groans which seemed to his horror-struck ears, his brothers issued from the cave. Then there gushed out of it foaming blood, which made him sure that Bali had perished in the struggle. To make sure that the victorious Rakshasa would not rush out in the elation of triumph and destroy Kishkinda, Sugriv blocked the entrance of the cave with a huge rock and returned to Kishkinda with his tale of Bali's death. As a state without a king invites disaster, he was persuaded by the ministers and elders to occupy the vacant throne. While he was enjoying the sweets of power, like a bolt from the blue, Bali burst forth on them, haggard with wrath and wounds. He accused him of treason and unnatural conduct towards one who was his brother and his king. Then he drove him out with scorn and contempt, as a wretch too vile to live, but whom he hesitated to slay only because he was also his brother. So, by a cruel fate, he had been deprived of his home, throne, and all, including even his wife, and had to seek asylum in the forest with a few faithful friends. Here, at least, he was safe, for Vali had been forbidden by a sage from entering these precincts, else he would die instantly. Sugriv concluded his story with a piteous appeal to Ram.
For fear of Vali, I am a wanderer in the forest. I live concealing myself here. Could you, would you kill Vali and restore to me my kingdom and my wife?
Ram answered, "Certainly I will. Bali cannot escape this bow, rest assured." As Sugriv and Ram were talking thus, in the Ashok Grove far away, the left eyelids of Sita throbbed, which is a good omen for women. At the same time, the left eyelids of the Rakshasa king also throbbed, as an evil sign.